Hello, music lovers. My name's Nathan Jolly. I'm the host of Listen Carefully, a weekly podcast where every Saturday morning I talk to a different musician about their lives in and around music.
We'll have all contemporary music fans singing Yay Ha.
Search for Listen Carefully with Nathan Jolly wherever you listen to podcasts.
Get Into Retail. Is it about a born-again Christian friend? Another great track recorded, as I said, a demo for Universal.
Yeah, well, I think the, when people say they're in retail, that sort of makes me smile, really, I suppose, when they're in retail. So, yeah, I just thought it was that sort of, idea of that sort of space, getting a job and getting into retail. I don't know.
Yeah, the bit where it says heard it from a friend who was born again.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nice image, but I wonder if that had any resonance with you or something, you knew?
Yeah, no, look, it would just been fitting words together. Yeah. I think we recorded it with Carolyn Kennedy out of the Plums at the time. Got her to come along, or I think she might have been a dead star by then, but I think she sings backups on it from memory.
Welcome back to Foves Are the Best People. I'm your host, John, and today we have returning co-host, Michael. Hello, Michael.
Oh, hello, John, and hello all you Foves, amazing, wonderful listeners, fans, and great people are supportive of this amazing podcast that we all enjoy being here every time.
Mm, yes, welcome aboard, everyone. What song are we reviewing today, Michael?
Wow, one of my top favourites. Got a lot of great memories. And The Doctor for our lovely B-side of his single Medium Pacer to his B-side of Get Into Retail.
Get Into Retail. Track 4, the last song on the single.
Mm-hmm.
After another song with G in the title, Michael, Glowmesh, which you have skipped. I love this song, Michael. It's fantastic. It's a popalicious masterpiece. It could have been, should have been on the album proper, but it wasn't. It's a magical song. You know, Doctor was shafted, really. I wonder why it didn't go on the album proper. It's, we can talk about what we might have cut off, because I know you only like 8 songs, or roughly. I mean, maybe you could have taken out White Collar Crime and chucked this in. I don't know. We can talk about that in a minute. But where should we begin, Michael? What's your first impressions of this song when you first heard it, maybe?
I got the memories of Third Lot Now singles I'm buying of the Foves, or Fourth Lot, because I suppose I did sort of buy Caesar Surrender and stuff. So I was working in retail at Myers at the time, which is really cool. And I remember, the next single's coming
selling
out.
Selling lollies.
Yeah, selling lollies. And to get it and see that, like, written on the back going, oh, what a cack, this song's got to be great. I can't wait to hear it. And, like, to my surprise, hearing how amazing it was. And just hearing quite a lot of really good top quality songs, B-sides recorded well for this album, for Thousand Yard Stairs. So, for an example, you've got your Future Spa singles and stuff. And, I mean, even prior to that, like... Caesar Surrender, that was good quality recording. But Future Spa, you know, we can hear it was recorded in a cupboard or something, you know, like at Ted's studio or something. There were still really good songs, but it's this time it got really good songs. It's really good recording production, and still love Jack's bass, but just really good, amazing bass quality sound, studio sound, and on the ball. Just, and I think it's just more of now the technologies, you know, with Pro Tools and stuff like that, you know, not suggesting or saying that Ted's needed to be shifted a bit forward or back to get right on the ball on the timing, or Doug's drumming or whatever, but that was possibly used, but you can just so hear it. So it's just not only the quality, there's still a feel, there's still the really good quality songwriting and the quality of recording, but everything really perfectly nice, neat and fit. And you can just hear that sort of stuff. So it was just really such a pleasure to get all the B-sides, even though there's 8 B-sides that I love out of the 4 singles, which I think's quite a good lot amount anyway. Far out, just amazing.
Yeah. Do you think you probably got it at HMV in Bourke Street Mall or JB or something like that? Any recollection where you got most of your singles?
Yeah. Most of them I reckon would have been from HMV, because I remember still having some stickers on some of them. Possibly in Myers, up in the music shop in Myers on the,
Myers for a day.
Second, third or fourth floor, something like that. And my mate worked up there. Yeah. And I mean, you know, you had Myers for the day, Myers for a day. And I remember having that song in my head when I got that job. And then later on to only be there working less than a year and get into retail, comes out on a B-side, and just like, this is just so funny. Like, I'm working in retail and Doctor's written a song about it. And again, and yeah, it's just cool.
Let's just make it a good... let's just pretend the story is you've just served regurgitator their new guard behind the counter, and then you've gone on break and you've gone up to find the CD. I just wanted to know whether, because they're on Shock now, whether these singles were hard to find, but it sounds like you were able to get them quite easily from the big stores in the city, which is nice.
Yeah, as soon as they were released, they were on the shelves. They were not hard to find. And I'm wondering whether it's just a thing of them being Victoria, Melbourne sort of based, that they could just distribute it really quickly and easily there. To my mind, never, obviously the albums and any of the singles were never hard to find at all. I just bought them in the city. And I mean, I can't even really remember other sort of record shops, whether it's in Richmond or other suburbs close by and stuff, whether I got them from there or whether they were stocked there or hard to get there. But you know, Madeline and I, we made sure we got up to date with the singles and we would just be able to easily buy them.
Yeah. I've been trying to find Beat and Impress from 2000, but I'm finding it a bit difficult. But it, presumably they would have advertised the singles a quarter page or maybe even a half page in some of the issues. I don't know. Shock obviously had quite a big imprint there in the street mags advertising and stuff. Michael, where do you want to go? Music or lyrics first?
I don't have a lot of music, so I'll get right into it. Sort of, I suppose, this is not so much lyrics or music, but you've got the structure of the song. It's very simple. Verse, chorus, and then verse repeated a couple of times until it fades out. A lot of easy songwriting.
It's music a bit of a conventional song, really. Like, it's a conventional pop song with, you know, four chords.
Yeah. And that's why these are sort of working. And it's just some acoustic sort of clear guitars in the background playing some chords, muted guitars, you know, and the obviously the riff, the keyboard, you know. And they made a good use of that. People could sort of say it's cheesy or whatever, but it's still unique. I'm sure they may have used that similar sound somewhere, but it sounds different to me. Harmony vocals popping up everywhere now and then, like, I might, just at the end of, tail end of, like, a line of one of the verses or something. And, just Ted's just playing the nice, simple bass lines, but because he's got that five string, he'll use the lower octave notes where needed, you know, going down to D or whatever not. I guess you'll sort of hear, well, hopefully we can squeeze out on the episode our version. You know, you play guitar, I played acoustic bass, and I did the vocals of a cover of Get Into Retail. I found an old recording. We started recording it, and then it was forgotten about it. And then years later, I just had the WAV file of both of the guitar and bass mixed, so I just recorded vocals over it maybe about 3 to 5 years ago. And just, there you go. So, listeners, if we get a bit of a sample of that, that's just sort of a version playing the arpeggiated guitar, but on the bass. But yeah, the arpeggiated clear guitar sound, bit of slight chorus.
And Michael, where did we perform this song? Anywhere interesting? In front of anyone interesting, did we perform this?
Yeah, and on that note, I don't think I've got a copy of that video. That might have been from yours. We're talking about converting any old VHS or anything to digital. And yes, we did, because that's why my memory is going a little bit blank. But we did perform this song in front of Dr. Coxie and
Doug.
Yeah, and I don't know if we spoke about it episodes ago. We probably did. Ghosting the Road, and then I just played all Doctor's Trumpet's parts on the bass, like, really fast, and you can hear Coxie laughing in the background. And
yeah, Coxie was chuckled. He was, like, laughing. He loved it. And on this song, when we did Get Into Retail, you did the sort of, in the pre-chorus, you did the slap pop bit, which he thought was really fun or funny.
Yeah.
Here to embarrass you with your songs.
Nah, it's all good. It's all fine.
Okay, here we go. God, it's so hard to play this song. Maybe it wasn't made for bass.
Take the old man. Oh, wow. You'll be seeing this up first, up real close. Got a thirst, getting hold of the straight line for a long time. Does anybody think that you and me are through? Well, I do. Our bus just stopped, we got up, getting lost, getting hold of some road rage in my old age. Did anybody have fucked this up at least once? When we go down, down, mix it up, it might taste fine. Does anybody really want to criticize?
Well, I might.
When we go down, mess around, go to town, gotta get into retail. Big sale. Does anybody really want to criticize? Well, I might.
Two more songs and then we're going back to the five. So thank you everyone. Thank you very much for being patient and enjoying our show and our set.
Hi there, everyone. I've been invited along to talk about a couple of Fove's B-sides. And these two B-sides happen to come off what is probably my favourite single, or CD single as it was in the day, in the Fove's back catalogues. And that's the CD single for Medium Pacer, a track off the Fove's 1,000 Yard Stare album. The reason I like it so much is, first and foremost, it's three quality songs. You get a slight remix of Medium Pacer, better than the album version, and you also get two quality B-sides that are possibly better than a couple of songs on the 1,000 Yard Stare album. And moreover, they are three Doctor songs, and these two B-sides are possibly, arguably, better than a couple of songs on the 1,000 Yard Stare album, especially considering that album only had two Doctor songs on it. There was possibly room for another one or two. As with most Doctor songs, I'm never completely 100% certain about what he's on about. I find his lyrics on the whole are a bit more obtuse, a little bit more impenetrable than Coxey's songs. Coxey tends to be far more direct and to the point, whereas with the Doctor songs, I'm never quite sure if there's some subtle subtext going on, and these two are no different. Get Into Retail, of the two, this is one that's sort of the very highest quality. I rate this song very highly in the Fove's back catalogue. I can see how it perhaps didn't quite fit onto the album. It's sort of an acoustic, more languid kind of song. It would have slotted very nicely into the Footage Missing album. It certainly has a very similar sound to things like Yo-Yo Craze and that. So I can see that it may not have fitted on 1,000 Yard Stare, but it was much too good of a song to be sacrificed at the B-side altar. Whether or not it was this album or it was held over for following albums, way too good. Lyrically, it seems to be about a protagonist who's giving up a high-achieving set career, for a life in retail, much to his old man's disgust. Is it simply about that, though, or is it perhaps interpreted as drawing a parallel to the Fove's career trajectory, you know, hitting it big with the Future Spar album and Dogs Are the Best People, being on a major label, falling out with the label, and ultimately being an indie band again? But there you have it, Glomesh and Get Into Retail, both taken from the CD single for Medium Pacer. Three Doctor songs for the price of one CD single. How can you not like that? Cheers. Bye.
Yeah, Michael, it was a good night. It was in my backyard, a variety night, you, me, and we did
yeah, Ghosting the Road, Get Into Retail, and one or two other songs, I think. Yeah, Coxie and Doctor had just performed an acoustic set, so we wanted them to sit down and see our cover versions, but we were too afraid to go to the main PA because, I don't know, it was raining or we just felt a bit embarrassed, so we just did it outside the kitchen there under the cover. And we were trying to give Doug some beers, but some of the comedians we had on had stolen the beers. Dilruk Jaisinghe, before he was famous, they performed and then stole some of the beers. So all we could give Doug was some old, you know, port or something, which he was like, yeah, thanks, man. So anyway, but it was a great performance, and I think they quite liked hearing their songs.
Mm.
I'm assuming this was around the time of Doctor's Orders in 13 or 12. So, yeah, they were having a bit of love from people covering their songs. We chose to get into Retail because it's such a good song.
It is. And songs like that are just a few unique songs. Doing this podcast, I feel like I would just love to do some more covers of Fauve stuff and just trying to think which ones to do and mix it up, you know, do it completely kind of different, not just getting out an acoustic guitar and do an acoustic version or singing in the same key. Well, I suppose like I've done before with Marijuana and stuff. But, yeah, it's just something nice to get back to them for them to realise how good these songs are, because I think they would forget about it a lot. Number one, this is not ever being performed live that I know of. And so number two, I believe, like I remember talking to Doug about, you know, Roller Coaster Man and a few B-sides, and he goes, I can't remember. We recorded so many songs. So there's so many forgotten things, and I'm enjoying how we're going through the podcast, especially in B-sides where I'm hearing from people saying, this song should have been a single, or this song is just written really well, or if they'd only changed that style of recording, it might have been better or whatever. And it just goes to show, like anyone, like all of us creative artists that don't get those recognition. And like we talked a lot from the prior album of Lazy Highways, how they were the struggling. It was that pressure to be in that Triple J scene and to match Future Spa, Dogs Are the Best People, all that sort of stuff, and using Surf City Limits as a thing to get in there. It's just that they've written some really well, wonderful, amazing songs that were not seen in the right eyes of the right promoter. To me, it feels like they were just sort of in the 90s looking at that art rock sort of band or underground and stuff. Oh, they're pretty cool. We'll just sign them. Whereas now there's, I'm sure if anything like that was going on where someone was sort of making money out of you or promoting you, they'd be like looking at all of your material, being able to chance to hear it all online on YouTube or whatever and go, man, this is really good. They've got quality songs. Now let's give them money rather than, hey, come up with some good singles. So my point going on about all that, it's now we're getting into the sort of phase of that we've spoken a few times throughout these Thousand Yard Stare songs and B-sides that it's not that they're giving up, but it's not like they're still, I don't know what the full story is, but I'm sure it's all spoken about when we talk about Thousand Yard Stare album. But yeah, it's all in there, but just basically because they're still releasing singles, but I feel for me as a listener from here on in, or especially the next album and the one after that, I feel like they're just doing it. They've always been sort of doing it for themselves and their mateship, but they're putting out another album every second year. So it's just like for the music, and yeah, it's never been captured in a good way for making money or anything.
Yeah. Well, this is a beautiful song, Michael. It's not something just thrown away. It's not something, I mean, the production, the backing vocals and stuff, they've thought about this song as a recording, and it's beautiful. It could have been on the album, you know, but not everything you can go on the album. To me, it's like a go-between song, or should I say more like a Grant McLennan type pop song, yeah, on their last two or three albums. The music, so pretty straightforward. It's in the key of F.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because I've probably talked about this before. It seems like a lot of Doctor songs are in F, particularly this Common Assessment Task. She's Down on the Coast. Although this one, he sort of starts in the B flat C. Do, 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 that bit, B flat C.
Mm-hmm.
And then the verse is just F, 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 A minor.
Yeah.
B flat, D minor. Does anybody really want to criticize D minor C? So yeah, F, A minor, B flat, big sale. Does anybody really want to criticize D minor C? And then the chorus bit when we go down is B flat, down, C, D minor. Mix it up, it might taste fine. B flat, C, down. Heard it from a gay friend who was born again. B flat, C. That's when you did the slap popping on the bass.
What was it on? Like it's an F or something. I'll play a version of I don't know if you guys can hear this, but here goes something like that.
I can, yeah.
And then, you know, you've got your Ted's classic sort of bass, you know. It's gonna take the long man. That's how I'd like to play it. So it gave me a cool kind of fun way to play the song my own way on the bass and playing the main riff on the bass and stuff, but and slap popping. But it's just to show it's a well-written song. It's simplified and you can do a lot with it. And they've already done something amazing with it with that production.
Yeah. The video is on YouTube of our performance, I think, Michael, under the Bamptonoid or Zarbologist channel.
Yep.
So listeners, check it out.
Okay, so here's how the riff goes, but I'm playing it on the bass, just for fun, my own unique way, as we talked about. La-di-di-da, 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 la-di-di-da. And then we'll go into the verses. When we go down, mess around, go to town, gotta get into retail, big sale. And then we go down, down. It's on a B flat. And here's the slap pop bass thing that Coxie, I think, laughed and liked. It's on B flat to C, I think. La di di da, la di di da, la di di da, la di di da. B flat. It's gonna take man a while. And a nice feel like Ted.
So lyrics, Michael. I have no idea what these lyrics are really, but I've asked some listeners to say what they think. So hopefully I'm keen to hear what other people think these lyrics are about. It could be about getting your first job. You know, as many teenagers do, you get your first job usually is in retail or, you know, hospitality or something. But then what's that got to do with the Christianity reference about being born again and... Or because you used to live off Victoria Street, Michael, you may have remembered in the early 2000s you're a bit down from that area, but all the tourist bus that would come from like people outside of the city, like in country Victoria, they'd come up in busloads to buy clothes at the shopping centres.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally they'd hire buses, like coaches would come in from, you know, Lang Warren or whatever. And these middle-aged women on shopping trips would come and buy like Diane Ferrari shoes or whatever. Cause there's that bit about our bus just stopped. We just got off getting lost. Mm. Going to get into retail, or maybe it's about a Boxing Day sale or something where people, you know, come to get their bargains and they're all, I don't know. Did the lyrics mean anything to you? Would you have any idea or?
Yeah, I think what he's done is they've written some songs and they're putting the songs together for the B-sides, and he's like, okay, what do I want to write about? What story do I want to tell? And I feel he's not... There is some things he wants to tell, and I'll just explain in a minute as I go through just a few of the lyrics. But just for an example, like, you know, we write songs, we're writing songs about our lives, or we're embellishing on it, and it's a story, it's got a tale or something. It's not one of those, so it's not really like he's saying something. But having said that, he's get into retail, maybe come up with that idea, mess around, go to town, get into retail, big sale. Does anyone criticize? I might. Could be like what you said in terms of getting your first job or getting on the road to start at the bottom and then, you know, be employed and then make money and make a life of yourself or whatever. Or it could be these people, like, as it goes later on in the last verse, which makes more sense, the people getting on the buses down there. And I remember that being working at Myers, where you'd obviously, number one, get a lot of people coming into Melbourne for the weekend or the week or something. Oh, we're from Tasmania and all this sort of stuff. That would be a lot, obviously. We're travelling along, nothing's wrong, getting bored of the space age in a big way. Not sure, could just be meaning getting bored of what's going on in the world. Keep it simple, mix it up, it might taste fine.
You know what I thought? Yeah. Getting bored of this space age, I'm assuming he's not talking about, you know, going to space and NASA and all that. No. Maybe it means, I thought maybe someone from the country who's sick of having nothing to do and there's all this space, so they want to come into town for something interesting to do.
Yeah. And then mix it up, it might taste fine. So get out of the boredom of where you're living out in the suburbs or out in the country or wherever. Get on the bus to go down and get into retail. Something to do. Buy. It's exciting. You're going to a big shop such as Myers. This is how I've got it in my head. Or the other shops around in the cities. They've got all the big brands name. This is the early 2000s. Sure, there possibly would have been that thing still of stuff new to being purchased online, but that was just, I just remember even in that time when people saying, oh, I won't buy online, somebody had their credit card and this happened, you know, there was still that sort of scare, where now 25 years later it's all normal. And yeah, don't know where friend who was born again, got no idea, born again retail person, like, that they were away from this and now they're back into it.
Yeah, you've got to take time away from retail because it burns you out, but then you come back with a renewed passion for selling stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, or buying stuff.
So our bus just stopped. We got off getting lost. So I thought about, you know, the women from Sunbury coming in and they're getting lost in the laneways of Richmond, getting hold of some road rage for my old age. You know, bloody... When we're in Geelong, there's no traffic you have to stop for in Warren Heap, you know? Like, what are traffic lights? And where we live, we just walk across and we don't have to, you know, get a hold of some... Anyone out there could have fucked this up at least once. So maybe it's the coach driver trying to park somewhere off Church Street or Lennox Street or something and having a bit of difficulty for it. And the title, Get Into Retail. So is it about, buying a business and selling, or is it about getting a retail checkout chick job? I don't know.
Yeah. I think looking at those lyrics, because things like it's going to take the old man a while to purchase something, to look around, having a thirst, like the thirst or the hunger for the addiction of whatever you're going to buy for retail. You know, people go, oh, I need a retail therapy. Yeah. Shame you didn't use that line in the song. taking care of the straight line for a long time, like a Boxing Day sale, or like just trying to get people to go in and be nice and not rush around. Are we through? So, yeah, especially the bus stop, got off getting lost. As you mentioned at the beginning, to me, it just looks like buyers, people coming in, something to do. They're not in touch with access nearby, really good retail, and they're traveling out there to get there and getting away from the norm, retail therapy. So there's that sort of meaning in it, I guess. I hope we've got enough listeners on this episode to sort of tell us what they think.
Whatever the meaning of the song, you know, Coxie later tells us to give up our day job. So I don't know what to think, Michael. I don't know what position the band has on employment.
Oh, yeah. And then we'll get that to the next album. Your job will be responsibility.
Oh, phasing you in, yeah.
Yeah. So.
And this is all from people, songwriters that have never really held traditional jobs. Well, not at the time this song was released anyway. A reminder to anyone out there in Victoria employing a child under 15. You needed a child employment license. It's free and can be done online, and the government just needs to make sure you're a fit and proper person. They're just a little advert for everyone out there, Michael, giving retail jobs for young people. Well, Michael, that's all I've got to say about this song.
Yeah, me too. It's great. It's a lovely, best song in the world. I love it so much. Once again, couldn't
say. Better than Glomish. I mean, it's better than Glomish.
It's better. And it's one of the eight B-sides I love so much. And the eight Thousand Yard Stare songs I'm on, the ones I'm not on, I don't dislike them. But it's just those eight to eight. If there was like a double vinyl album or eight on each side or something, that'd be so cool. Like, or a special concert, you know, celebrating the 25th anniversary of Thousand Yard Stare. They're the songs I'd love to hear, you know, doubles. Yeah.
Okay, Michael, many thanks for joining us on the podcast where we review every song by those legendary tunesmiths, the Fooves. Because you got one of the female singers to come play on Get Into Retail, is that right?
That's right. Caroline Kennedy was the singer of the Plums later on.
She pissed off her head on that demo too.
Yeah. She's drunk as a skunk. We ended up replacing her vocals. Phil sang them. But we used her ideas that she came up with on the spot. It was at Hot House. And her ideas were great. Her lines were really clever harmonies, and but they just weren't very well sung.
She was slurring them. She actually nailed the harmony, but she slurred the words.
I don't think she's had a drink since probably
she's sober now.
1998, but yeah.
Hello, Fove's friends. Lauren here from outer regional Melbourne with a couple of words about Get Into Retail. This was a B-side that I'm not super familiar with. I feel like I've heard it before, but lots of folk songs sound like that. I found it very interesting with the lyrics of how it is perhaps talking about a multi-level marketing situation, people's friends telling them about a product and selling it on, and you might make lots of money, but you also might make none. The reference to the friend who was born again also made me think about this. Lots of these multi-level marketing companies are made up of religious inclined people. So that was very interesting. I really liked the music in the song. It really reminded me of that song, The Need You Now, by Lady Antebellum. I wonder if they might have a little bit of a copyright claim on that. The music was very, very similar. But it's kind of quiet, it's nice, it's pretty. But what is it actually talking about? I'm interested to hear everyone's thoughts. Thank you.
Get Into Retail. This is a great song. Actually, it's a really great song. I think this is one of those songs that got left off Thousand Yard Stare, or at least it was recorded for those sessions. And it's a real pity that it didn't get included, although I can sort of see the reasoning why it doesn't really fit in with the sound of that album. But that said, I think this would have been perfect for Footage Missing, but for some reason or another, the folks never really seem to come back for songs that they've dumped on a particular album. Lyrics for this are fairly cryptic, like most of Doctor songs, really. But my interpretation is that it may be a bit of a comment on the Howard era, where there was this constant talk of being upwardly mobile, turning everyone into shareholders. It's all about being rich and all that shit. Anything that doesn't make you money like arts is just not worth pursuing. The sort of shit that really had a little more, was a little more than an attempt to put blame on being poor on the poor themselves. Well, I may have let my hatred of the Howard era and this whole ethos bias my reading of lyrics, but still, it makes sense considering the time this was written in and the types of words the Doctor uses that were really thrown around a lot back then. Musically, this is a really interesting composition. It doesn't really have a classic verse, chorus, middle, late section. I don't actually really know what you'd call each section in this song. It sounds like it's all chorus with some pre-choruses thrown in occasionally. But then some of those choruses have different lyrics, so they're more like verses. But anyway, it doesn't really matter what you label them. It all just ends up being a fantastically catchy song.
Down, mess around, go to town, gotta get into retail. Big sale. Does anybody really wanna criticize? I might. We're traveling along, nothing's wrong, won't be long, getting bored of the space age in a big way. Does anybody think that you have got a clue? Except you. When we go down, down, mix it up, it might taste fine. Down, down, heard it from a friend who was born again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. La-da-dee-da. Gonna take the old man a while. You'll be seeing this first, up and close, got a thirst, taking care of the straight line for a long time. Does anybody think that you and me are through? I do. Our bus just stopped, we got off, getting lost, getting hold of some road rage for my old age. Anybody out there could have fucked this up at least once. When we go down, down, mix it up, it might taste fine. Down, down, heard it from a friend was born again, yeah, yeah, yeah. La-da-dee-da, la-da-dee-da, la-da-dee-da. It's gonna take the old man a while. When we go down, mess around, go to town, gonna get into retail, big sale. Does anybody really wanna criticize? When we go down, mess around, go to town, gonna get into retail, big sale. Does anybody really wanna criticize? I might.
I'm essentially unemployable. I can't get a job at a bakery because my resume essentially consists of I won Triple J Unearthed in 1995 and then started touring the world. Were you 18 then when you won Triple J Unearthed? Close yep. to, yeah?
Yep. I formed the band at 17 and then Triple J, yes, I just turned 18 when Triple J had come into town. Yep.
Do you feel like becoming a, you know, for want of a better term, becoming a rock star so early in your life has made it impossible for you to live normally, really?
Oh, look, I love what I'm doing right now. Well, I'm really enjoying this conversation. I find this very normal. So, no, not at all. 2014 and Grinspoon had just gone on hiatus and I didn't know what to do with myself. And I just was like struggling really to go, oh, well, can I get a job at a bakery? And, you know, I can't really. Like my resume doesn't read like what you'd probably put on someone at Bunnings. But, look, I think normal's relative, and I feel pretty normal right now.
Have you ever done the infamous backyard gig that a dude would run? Like, Carl's been hit up to do this.
Yeah.
They've talked about it on his podcast.
Oh, God, we were the original ones to do that, Dil. This was years ago. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
have you done it, Carl?
I haven't. I've been there.
Oh.
I've been asked to do it. Then I went out there and went, I have more common sense than you people.
Carl's probably had one of the biggest deaths I've ever had.
Backstory.
How far did you get into the gig?
Oh, no, no, you hung out. Yeah, you watched everyone die.
No, I hung out because the guy that booked it also booked the Foves, the band.
Oh, sure.
The Foves,
yeah.
Who are like my favourite Australian band of all time. And so I watched them turn up and then go, oh. And then they went through and did it. Because you can't die when you're playing music.
Right. Yeah.
Except they were... I think they were performing underneath a like a Hills Hoist with a blanket on top in the rain.
Do you want to give the backstory, Dill? Because I think you and me were the first ones to ever be asked about it.
I think
it was a dude that had come to a couple open mic gigs.
Right.
And he contacted Soren. That's right. Who's been on the podcast before. Soren Jaimana, now based in Sydney. Mm. And he messaged him and said, hey, man, I saw you in Raw Comedy. I think it was the state final.
Yep.
Do you want to do a gig in my backyard for my birthday? For me and my friend's joint 30th, I think it was.
Yeah.
Soren was like, okay. And he was like, and invite your mates that do comedy as well. So I think it was me, you, and Soren did it.
Yeah.
Maybe even like, I think, I'm going to say Tim Clark.
Yeah.
I think,
Sean Bedlam, maybe?
I think he just rocked up. I think he was in the neighborhood.
He was at a protest nearby.
Yeah. So we all rocked up, and it was just 10, 15 people there.
His friends.
But they were not into it at all. And they just sat there in silence while everyone got up. And it was a really cold night, I remember. And it was just... we got paid like $50 each for it or something.
No, we did not get paid $50. We got paid $30.
The time...
correct. It was probably my biggest pay at that point. I won't lie.
That's more than you got paid for in your own backyard.
Exactly.
But I remember also doing this. I remember going, I'm going to get my money's worth and cleaned out that SD.
Yeah, I remember because we went to a party afterwards and we walked to the tram stop and you like opened up your jacket and you just had all these beers.
Did I? I meant more like at the party. I remember just even after
that. Is that the last time he did that gig with the night that we went there?
I think well, he did offer me one more and I just couldn't do it because I was not in town or something. Like, I've always said, Kyle makes fun of me because I say yes to a lot of shit that he thinks I should say
no. That's not the only reason he makes fun of you.
Well, one of the things he makes fun of me. Awesome.
But
I was always just like, look, if I've got nothing else on that night, I don't have a family, I don't have a girlfriend, I might as well do a gig. The last time I ever did it was the time you came and the Forbes were on, and that was probably the worst I've ever done. So there's a part of me that wants to go back just to, like, finish on a high.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that would have been, like, my fourth time doing it, I reckon.
Yeah, because I remember that gig in a couple of different ways. In that I got there, went, there's no way I'm doing this, but I'll hang around for the... I'll hang around. I got there, and it looked really bad, so I was like... And I brought along your ex-co-host of a podcast, Open Mic Live podcast.
Doug Gordon.
I dragged him along because he was... I'd be talking to him. I'm like, oh, you're sort of like the equivalent of Dill. You like going to every gig and any gig.
Yeah.
So I brought him along.
He killed that night.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Because I was supposed to go on. I was like, I'm not going to go on. I just said to the guy, I'm not going to go on. I'm not being paid for it. So I'm just going to hang out if that's cool. And he was like, oh, okay. Whatever. Fair enough. But I said, look, Doug will go on if you want him to. And he was like, oh, okay. Doug went on. I thought he did great considering the gig was a piece of shit.
Totally.
But what was bad was, so I love the Foves. As Doug was on, I sort of very, very vaguely know those guys. The guys in the Foves were like saying to me, so are you going to be on soon instead of this shit? Oh. And I was like, oh, that's mean, because Doug was actually doing well for what the gig was.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, don't feel like that, because you're about to go on and eat shit as well, boys.
Yeah.
You're about to... Like, they were performing, there was a sheet over the Hills Hoist, they were under the Hills Hoist, and then the guys that ran the gig had another bed sheet and had just drawn with, like, paint... The Foe.
Was it spelt wrong as well?
It was terrible. It looked so bad.
Oh, my God.
Why did the Foves do it? Because I think that guy was like, him and his mates were like massive
wish.
Super fans. They were massive super fans. And I think they'd been asking them forever to do it.
Okay.
And sometimes that kind of kicks off. It's like, oh my
it was
God,
sort of
it's
like
a viral
me,
event.
Sort of like me doing this podcast today.
Yeah. How many songs do you play at a backyard? How many songs do you play at a backyard gig?
Oh, well, that was a bad thing, because I'm a genuine fan of theirs, and they played a set, and went, oh, great, and they're like, yeah, we're taking a half-hour break for some reason, then playing a second set. I'm like, I am not sticking around for that.
Wow.
Like, this was a break at midnight, I remember.
Yeah.